Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
Now, the US President Donald Trump said today that the US had a very good and productive discussion with Russian President Vladimir Putin. But Ukrainian President Zelensky warned today that Putin will not end this war on his own and urged President Trump to use the strength of America to force Russia into a ceasefire. But can a ceasefire happen? To discuss this from different perspectives now, I'm joined by Ben Tonra, who is Professor of International Relations in UCD, and also by Jeffrey Roberts, who's Emeritus Professor of History at UCC and a specialist in Russian foreign and military policy. You're both very welcome indeed to the programme. I might come to you, Ben Tonra, first, if I may.
Sure.
What about the comments made by President Trump today about productive, positive discussions with the Russians? What do you make of that?
I think he's been played successfully by Putin. I think he's put a ceasefire on the table that the Ukrainians have said they'll support. And I think Putin has given Trump the kind of headline that he wanted in terms of supporting a ceasefire in principle, but then putting a number of absolutely impossible and outrageous conditions on that ceasefire.
So you think it won't happen?
No, I don't think there's a serious peace talks at all. I think this is political theater to secure for Putin Ukraine, because it's not the peace that Putin wants, it's Ukraine that he wants. And I think for President Trump, I think this is about him establishing normalized relations with Russia, and I think it's about him extorting cash out of Ukraine to pay for the support the US has given to Ukraine. But so I don't think peace is his objective.
Mm-hmm. Is it not dangerous for Vladimir Putin to mess around, so to speak, with Donald Trump in this way? He's promised peace, he's promised a ceasefire, and he is erratic. We know that. So, and he's warned that if it doesn't happen, there could be sanctions.
Yeah, he's erratic, but he doesn't follow through. I mean, we've seen that with trade sanctions. We've seen that on many other fronts. And I think President Putin is smart enough to play a longer game and knows what he's dealing with.
What about the comments by Donald Trump today in relation to Kursk? He said there are thousands of Ukrainian troops completely surrounded by the Russian military and in a very bad and vulnerable position. I've strongly requested to President Putin that their lives be spared. He said this would be an horrible massacre, one not seen since the Second World War. God bless them all.
It's extraordinary that you find a US president simply parroting precisely the line that the President Putin was providing him just a few days before. Because according to the intelligence reports, these are public intelligence reports, we don't know exactly what's going on the ground. The Ukrainian troops are not in that precarious situation whatsoever. Now, we do have verified evidence of Russian forces murdering unarmed civilian or unarmed Ukrainian troops after they have surrendered. So that kind of a massacre is certainly theoretically possible, but I don't honestly think that that's the situation on the ground, but it is a point that the president is repeating from for President Putin.
Okay. Do you know what's the source of that verified evidence that Ukrainian soldiers have been killed after capture?
You can reference Bellingcat. You can reference a number of open source intelligence sources who have both recordings of and evidence of same.
So you think that this is going to be played out over time by Vladimir Putin until Donald Trump gets distracted
bored
by something else? Is that it?
Absolutely. He's like a child with a shiny plaything. This is his latest gambit. I mean, tomorrow it may be invading Greenland and the day after it may be invading Panama. We just don't know.
All the while, though, the European Union is arming themselves, upping spending on defence and so on. I mean, could that give enough time for the European Union to get its act together, so to speak?
Well, that is from the European perspective. That's precisely what is happening. The European and particularly now Germany with its deal on the debt brake is putting a lot of resources behind supporting Ukraine, giving Ukraine the kind of strength and support it needs in order to enter into meaningful peace negotiations from a position of strength.
What happens, can I ask you finally, if Donald Trump wants a result here quickly? And I'm sure that's part of the calculation by Vladimir Putin. If he does threaten sanctions on the economy of Russia, if he does follow through on that, I mean, is there a situation where Vladimir Putin and Russia and the Kremlin say, yes, we'll give a ceasefire for 30 days? What happens then, do you think?
I don't honestly think that scenario is the more likely. I think the more likely scenario is that Putin plays Trump successfully, and Trump then turns around and tries to pressurize Ukraine into acceding to some of the more outrageous demands that Putin has made in exchange for ceasefire.
Okay.
Things like not allowing the Ukrainian troops to train, things like not allowing Ukraine to get further arms transfers and support from Europe.
Okay, stay with me, Ben Tonra, if you will. I have as well, as I say, Professor Emeritus Jeffrey Roberts from UCC. Jeffrey, you're very welcome back to the program. Putin is playing Donald Trump. Would you agree with that?
No, absolutely not. The first point to make is that Trump is very serious about achieving peace in Ukraine as soon as possible. He wants the killing to end. Putin is not playing Trump. He's actually engaging in serious negotiation with Trump and his administration. And all the signs are that those discussions, negotiations are going very well. And what's likely to happen is that the Americans and the Russians are going to arrive at a set of terms for the implementation of a ceasefire. And then those terms are going to be put to the Ukrainians, and presumably there'd be further discussions and negotiations with the Ukrainians. Now, the Ukrainians may choose to reject those terms. Fine. If that happens, then the war will go on, the killing will continue, and Ukraine's military position will continue to deteriorate. The longer the war goes on, the weaker is Ukraine's position. It's a complete and utter fantasy to think that Ukraine, even with European help, let me finish quiet for a change, can actually turn this situation around. The war is only going in one direction, right? Ukraine is never going to be as strong as it is now with Trump on his side to get the best deal they can. Now, that's the reality. That's a reality. And you can't wish it away by wishful thinking.
The US, and I do give you a fair hearing, Jeffrey, in fairness. The US said, and Marco Rubio has said, that there will be compromises on both sides. What compromises will Russia make, do you think, Jeffrey?
Well, I mean, fundamentally, what Putin wants out of this war, they want to make sure that, you know, Ukraine becomes a neutral state, that it cuts all its connections with NATO, that it's a genuinely neutral state. That's why Putin went to war, and that's Putin's main war goal. So that's the fundamental concession that Ukraine's got to make in order for there to be a ceasefire. The concession that Putin can make is territorial. Putin, the Russians, can moderate their territorial demands on Ukraine. So that's the quid pro quo.
Yeah, but he says, Vladimir Putin has said that they're going to take what is theirs, whatever that means. And if you look at the Russian constitution, which I know you're more au fait with than I am, they believe that a lot of Ukraine is theirs. And that's the problem.
Yeah, sure.
The other problem is the security guarantee. How do you give Ukraine the security guarantee if they are neutral and if they don't have a backstop from NATO?
Yeah, well, that's the whole point about it. Yeah, this Ukrainian territory has been incorporated into the Russian Federation, so it would be a huge kind of concession by Putin to actually relinquish this claim to additional Ukrainian territory, and it would be a concession that would lead him to have to face down Russia's hardliners who want to actually go for total victory over Ukraine. Yeah, okay. The point about security, very very important. Very important. What kind of security guarantee can there be for Ukraine? I think the important point here, we're talking about a security guarantee for Ukraine's status as a neutral state, and the obvious way to do that is through the United Nations Security Council. So a Security Council guarantee of Ukraine's neutral
Which Russia
status.
Russia has disregarded numerous times.
Well, this will be a Security Council guarantee, and it will include China, of course, as well as the United States, Britain, France, and other members.
So, can I go back to Ben Tonra? Could that work? I mean, Vladimir Putin is very serious about peace, as Jeffrey, and there could be a Security Council guarantee.
That's absolute nonsense for three reasons. Number one, Russia broke the UN charter by invading Ukraine in the first instance, and we saw no response from the UN. Number two, Ukraine was neutral before and allowed, Ukrainian neutrality was a thing that allowed Russia to invade. Had Ukraine been a member of NATO, Russia would never have dared to invade Ukraine. And number three, Putin's ambition has never been a neutral Ukraine. Putin's ambition, from the words of the man's own mouth, is that he wanted to destroy the Ukrainian state and destroy the Ukrainian people and eliminate Ukraine from the map of Europe. Those are three reasons why that argument is nonsense.
How can you trust Putin if that's the case, Jeffrey?
Well, Ben is completely wrong. Putin's aim has never been to destroy Ukraine. That's just a propaganda vision. Putin's aim is to make sure that Ukraine doesn't become an anti-Russia state, right? That's the first point. The second point is that Russian relations with Ukraine began to deteriorate when Ukraine gave up its neutrality and headed in the direction of NATO membership, right? And it was Ukraine's integration into NATO, the build-up of Ukraine as a military adjunct of NATO, that's what prompted Putin's invasion of Ukraine, which he sees as defensive, right? As a matter of national security. And by the way, the Russians will also tell you that their action was fully in line with international law and with the UN Security Council. And I'm not saying they're right about that, but from their point of view, they're acting in their own interests and they're also acting lawfully.
Okay, it's going to be a complex negotiation. Professor Jeffrey Roberts and Professor Ben Tonra, thank you both very much.